Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. It says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.'" Verse 7, "Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Now, this is a section of Paul's letter to the Galatian church. And the Galatian church, which is very interesting because the Galatian church were Gentiles. It was the Gentile church. For those of you who don't understand the term Gentile, it means that you're not a Jew. So you're either a Jew or you are a Gentile. The Galatian church was a Gentile church. And well, what's very interesting is that Paul was making reference to the fact that they were sons, they were heirs, in the context of actually them being Jews. So he was writing to the Galatians church, but he was also writing to the Jews who were living in the Galatian church. This letter obviously is for the whole church, for the entirety of the church, not just for naturally born Jews and naturally born sons and daughters of Israel, but it's for every single believer. But what's very, very interesting here is that Paul was writing to a people who were still under the law. They were subject to the law. So the law, with all of its limitations and all of its constraints, was acting as the guardian, acting as the force, if you like, that kept these new believers, these brand new believers, and many of them not so new, many of them were mature believers, and the law kept them in a place of confinement, in a place of, if you like, control until the fullness of time had come. Until the fullness of time had come. And what I find very, very interesting here is that in the very first verse, Paul makes reference to the fact that when you have a child, or you have an heir, if you like, acting as a child, existing as a child, continuing as a child, even though they are an heir, it says that they are no better or no different from a slave. A child or an heir, because we are all children of God. We are children of God. As long as you've walked with the Lord, you may have been walking with the Lord for 5 decades, but you're still a child of God. An heir that is a child, that is meaning an heir that is still subject to, under the hand of something, of a force, of some level of control, of some level of, confinement or limitation or containment. While you are still continuing as a child, then you are no different from a slave, even though you are an heir. And this is what the Lord dropped in my spirit. He says that there are many of my children today who are heirs. They are heirs. by the simple fact that they have been adopted and they have received my Spirit, my Holy Spirit, by whom, can someone shut that door? Because I don't really want, I know it's warm, but I really can't have distractions right now. Please shut the door. Windows are open. If the fan needs to be put on, please put it on. They have received the Holy Spirit by whom there comes forth a cry, Abba, Father, Abba, Father. So Father, Father, there is a cry. There is a release from the life and from the heart of the Son of the daughter of Christ, in whom dwells the Holy Spirit. And the Lord says that by virtue of the fact that the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you, you are an heir to an inheritance. If you have been adopted, which we have been, if you are now of royal blood, which you are, then you are an heir to his inheritance. But then the Lord says, this is the issue. There are too many of my children who are still living with the mentality of not only a slave, but an orphan, even though they are heirs to his inheritance, even though they have been adopted, even though that they have been called and commissioned and qualified to be sons and daughters of the King of Kings and of the Lord of Lords. This mindset, this mentality of one that is, if you like, a slave or an orphan, is firmly entrenched in our carnal thinking, in the old man. It is firmly fixed in who we were and not who we are. And this is why Paul uses the word child, because in the Greek, the word child is nepios. And it appears in a number of places, but two places in particular. The first place that it appears is 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1, where it says, I read in the Amplified, it says, however, brethren, I could not talk to you as spiritual men, but as a non-spiritual man of the flesh, in whom the carnal nature predominates. In whom the carnal nature predominates. There is a domination. There is still a control. There is still, you got to understand that your carnal nature and the law are one. Amen. Who you were, that sinful nature has risen and exists because of the law. When Jesus came by his power to release grace into our lives, the curse of the law was broken. And you and I were once for all empowered to come up from under the pre-domination. And it's a pre-domination because it pre-exists every single person that is born into this world. It is a pre-domination because there was a pre-domination sin, there was a pre-falling that now causes every single one of us, apart from Christ, to enter into a life of control and confinement. So we are still under this pre-domination because of carnal thinking. And this is what Paul is saying to the Corinthian church. As to mere infants or babes. So that nepeos, that's that word, infant. Same word for child. As to mere infants in the new life in Christ, unable to talk yet, unable to speak, unable to, you see, the reason why an infant is unable to talk is because of its level of not only comprehension, but its cognizance, its ability to not only understand, but to lay hold of what it understands and communicate it. If as children of God, we are not able to effectively lay hold of what we are meant to understand, we will struggle to effectively communicate it. The communication of what we have understood completes the circle or the cycle of God's release from heaven to earth, his release of his favor, of his goodness, of his mercy, of his kindness, of everything that he represents into your life. The reason why many of God's children are still living in lack today. You come to church every Sunday. You have walked with Jesus for many years. But you're not enjoying the fullness of your inheritance. You're not experiencing the fullness of your inheritance. You are not living in the... Now, don't get me wrong. I'll talk about this in a second. We haven't got the fullness. We only have a down payment. We have a deposit. We have a guarantee from the guarantor, who is the person of the Holy Spirit, the seal of God upon your life. But that is more than you will ever need to live in this life. But many of God's people are still bound by fear, bound by the unknown. You're bound by man. You are still bound by your past. You are still bound by intimidation. You are so trapped and you're so ensnared. You can't move forward. God says, I have given you, open your eyes, Abraham. Look to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west. Raise up and see a wider horizon. I have given you all. And what you see, begin to walk into. What you see, begin to move into. But no, God, we can't walk because we don't have the legs to walk. Why? Because we're still infants. We can't declare. We can't communicate God. Why? Because we don't have the ability to. There is a heavenly language that God has reserved for you that you are not moving in yet. There are supernatural communications from heaven that God has reserved for you, but you are not speaking and declaring yet. Heaven is not able to release the things that it needs to release into this earth because God's children, his heirs, are not speaking yet. Jesus. He says, I fed you with milk, not solid food. For you are not strong enough to be ready for it. Say, God, you click on God TV, you go to a conference, you read a book, and you say, God, where did they get this revelation from? Where does this man get this revelation from? Where does this woman get this revelation from? They got the revelation because God got them ready for it. And God got them ready for it because they yielded to the Spirit of the Lord who was on the inside of them, choosing to walk by Him and not by the flesh that was still under the predomination of the law. But God is getting you ready, LWC. LWC, I said God is getting you ready.
Amen.
He's getting you ready. For you are still unspiritual, having the nature of the flesh under the control of ordinary impulses. You know, oh my Lord, I've been up since about 4:30 this morning. That's not too unusual for me for a Sunday morning because of the time I give to prepare. But what was unusual was what was going on while I was up from 4 o'clock this morning. In fact, what was happening from around 2:30 this morning. And just the level of outright demonic attack. And when I was finally fully awake, I said, okay, God, I don't know what you're doing today, but you're going to do something. I know you are. And I've not been right all morning. I haven't. I'm not going to stand here and lie to you. Because this word is like a fire shut up in my bones. It is burning on the inside. Because the Lord is calling from heaven, and He is saying, children, enough is enough.
Amen.
This is the time to begin to enter into your inheritance. Lord, I can't do it because He let me down. That's the flesh. Predomination. God, I can't do it because I'm scared to take that step. That's the flesh. Predomination. God, I can't speak it because I don't know. I might look silly if I say something. That's the flesh. You're not ready yet. It's still on, you're still on the milk, but He has given you teeth for the meat. He has already equipped you for it. He's already strengthening your arms. He's already strengthening your legs. And He is saying it's not about tomorrow. It's not about next week. It's not about next year. And it's not about anyone else. It is about today. And it's about you. It's about you, child of God. He's saying this Father's Day, He needs to demonstrate to you that He is truly your Father. And then He says, I need to demonstrate to you that I am truly your Father, just as much as you need to demonstrate to me that you are truly my Son. Finish in a few minutes. It says, for you are still unspiritual, having the nature of the flesh under the control of ordinary impulses. For as long as there are envying and jealousy and wrangling and factions among you, are you not unspiritual and of the flesh, behaving yourselves after a human standard and like mere unchanged men? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, napaos. a child. For solid food belongs to those who are full of age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Yeah. You've had your senses. You've had your senses, your supernatural spiritual sense to smell, to Amen. Feel, to hear, to see. You've had your senses exercised by reason of use. You are so detached from the confines and the constraints and the limitations of this world. You're not worried about the mortgage anymore. You're not worried about the better car anymore, or the bigger house anymore, or the better job anymore, or just one more holiday anymore, or what's going to be in my bank account when I retire anymore. You have released all of that. Why? Because you have trained yourself to focus on your inheritance. Do you know what your inheritance is?
Come on.
Bring it on indeed. Because I hope, I pray you're ready when it does bring it on.
Thank you, Lord.
That's why this image that the Lord showed me once, image of a puppet master and a puppet with strings, man. I'm like, God, no, this is not what my Jesus came to die on the cross for. He did not come to obliterate the law so that I can live by grace. I can live free. I can live empowered. I can live as a child of God. I can live in the fullness of your inheritance, only to find myself, because I have allowed this world to lay hold of me, and I can't control this flesh. I'm doing this all the time. I'm your puppet. I'm your puppet, boy. No. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but those strings are going to be cut. Amen. I said those strings are going to be cut. You don't need a puppet master to walk or to open your mouth. You're not a ventriloquist dummy. You're a child of the living God. I said you're a child of the living God. And the next time you open your mouth over that circumstance, over that child, over that wife, over that husband, over that business situation, when everything appears to be going wrong, the next time you talk, the next time you open your mouth, heaven is going to respond. Heaven is going to answer, because Jesus is going to speak through you. Let's have the band back. Bam, when you get on the platform, just please be very sensitive. You know, church, you know my heart. I'm very passionate, I'm very strong usually, but this is unusual. I don't know what's happening, but I know that something is happening. I don't know what's moving, but I know that something is moving. I don't know what is about to be birthed, but I know that something is about to be birthed. And you need to get ready. You gotta get ready. Your inheritance is an everlasting inheritance. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15 says, "And for this reason, he, the mediator of a new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance." Your inheritance, child of God. Your inheritance, son of God. That's gender inclusive. Your inheritance is an eternal inheritance. Your inheritance is an imperishable inheritance. Let's go to 1 Peter. Chapter 4, in fact, chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercies has begotten us again to a living hope. You have been begotten again to a living hope from the resurrection, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance, an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. Your inheritance is eternal. Your inheritance is incorruptible. Your inheritance is undefiled. And your inheritance is reserved in heaven for you. It's eternal, incorruptible, undefiled, and reserved. But your inheritance is also from Christ. That's the fifth one. And the last one is this about your inheritance. It's sealed. I said that at the beginning. It's sealed in, by, and through the person of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit who now lives on the inside of you, by whom you now cry, Abba. And every single time you declare Abba. Every single time you open your mouth and the Holy Spirit, it's not a natural utterance. It is not a physical utterance. It is a spiritual and a supernatural utterance. And when that utterance of Abba comes forth from the inside of you, you need to know that heaven stands still, because heaven needs to see who has the audacity to call the name that is above every other name, to call upon the name at which every knee must bow and every tongue must confess. Abba. The same Holy Ghost has sealed your inheritance. Ephesians 1 13. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee. He is that your inheritance has been sealed, and it's guaranteed by the person of the Holy Spirit, who is on the inside of you, who is upon you, and who is with you. Guaranteed until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. And this is what the Amplified says for verse 14. That the Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance, the first fruits, the pledge, the foretaste, the down payment of our heritage. He is the foretaste. He is the pledge. He is the down payment. You have a foretaste of this inheritance. And this inheritance speaks of everything that is God. It speaks of everything that is of God. And it speaks of everything that is from God. This inheritance is the fullness of heaven itself. This inheritance is everything that his presence is and his presence will ever be. But we have cheapened our understanding of his presence. Do you not realize that there is no fear in his presence, because his love cast out that fear? Do you know that there is no sickness in his presence, because he is the perfection of all things? Do you know that there is no pain in his presence, because all that pain has been dealt with by way of the cross? Do you know that there is no lack in his presence? There is no lack in heaven. In his presence, there is only the fullness of joy to overflowing, and righteousness forevermore. Everything that you will ever need. This burden that you carry This worry that is weighing you down is the very thing that is keeping you under the kosh. It is keeping you under the thumb. It is keeping you constrained, bro. It is keeping you concealed. And you're saying, God, when is it going to happen? When am I going to be free? When am I going to be rid of this? You're coming to this house. You come with a mask. You come with a mask. The mask is coming off today in Jesus' name. No more pretense. No more pretense. He is going to reach out to his real son. He's going to reach out to his real daughter. And he is going to say, he's saying, today is the day. Today is your day. And you say, God, when will I be free from this? When can I break free from this? When will be the time? But he says the time already has come. He talks about the fullness of time. He doesn't talk about a partial time. The fullness of time has already come. The fullness of time has already taken place. The fullness of time was a day on Golgotha, a day on a place called the Skull, where your Jesus and my Jesus hung on that cross for 6 hours. He hung on that cross for 6 hours for your sins and for my sins. And he was buried in that grave, but the grave could not contain him. It had to release him. It had to produce him. It had to give birth to him. Death had to give birth to life. I said, you didn't hear me now. I said, death had to give birth to life. I said, death had to give birth to life. What is this dead situation you're facing right now? If it's not only acting as a womb for life, because life is coming. He said, the fullness of time. The fullness of time. When you're pregnant, there's a fullness of time. And the fullness of time has come. So when we say, God, when will this change? When will this stop? When will I break free? He says, you're already free. It's already changed. It's already stopped. Where, God? In heaven, in my presence. But God, I don't see it. I don't understand it. I'm not living in it. Yes, son. Yes, daughter. You're not living in it because you are still having a slave mentality. You're not living in it because you don't understand yet that you are my son. You are my daughter. You are my child. Let's all stand. I'm going to minister to you now a song. Never sang in this church before. And I've purposely finished. It's only five. You have 10 minutes. You have 10 minutes. Give God 10 minutes. Let him do what he needs to do. I wanted to finish 10 minutes ago. But give God 10 minutes. Let him do what he needs to do. Because today it changes for somebody. Today is the day that you are rising up to a different standard. It is your standard by birthright. You are not your father. You are not your mother. Amen. You are not the one who hurt you, and you are not the one who abused you. Today is a new standard. My Lord Jesus.